Welcome back, everybody. We're diving deep today into some of the biggest IT disasters of 2024.
Oh, yeah. Definitely some doozies.
There have been some rough ones for sure.
Yeah.
And our source material today is this article called 8 Major IT Disasters of 2024, Lessons for Business Continuity.
Catchy title.
And I am joined by our in-house expert in everything tech and risk management.
Hello.
And we're going to kind of go through each of these 8 disasters one by one.
Okay.
And kind of see what happened and also see what we can learn.
Some good.
Okay. So let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
First up is the CrowdStrike update.
Oh, yeah.
Millions of computers got stuck in these endless reboot loops.
Reboot loop of death.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's a pretty big problem.
Can you tell everybody what happened?
Sure. So it all started with a flawed sensor configuration update.
Okay.
And it essentially caused 8.5 million Windows computers to get stuck in these endless reboot cycles.
Oh, wow.
The crazy thing is, it wasn't just personal computers.
Okay.
Hospitals, airlines, even emergency services, all sorts of essential systems were impacted.
I see.
Which really just goes to show how reliant we are on these often unseen pieces of software.
Yeah, I mean, these things that run in the background that we don't even think about.
Right. Exactly.
Until they don't work.
Exactly.
And then it's a huge problem.
Yeah. And I mean,
so what kind of fallout did CrowdStrike face as a result?
So to give you an idea of the scale of this, from Delta Airlines alone filed a $500 million lawsuit against CrowdStrike and Microsoft.
Wow.
And that's just one example.
Yeah.
Across all affected industries, the financial losses were estimated to be around $5 billion.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
It's interesting because, you know, I was reading that a lot of people were saying like, oh, you know, CrowdStrike should have tested more.
You know, that is definitely true.
Yeah.
But it's not just about the amount of testing.
Okay.
It's also about the type of testing.
Okay, so what should they have done then?
Well, one strategy they could have implemented was a canary deployment, which is where the update is rolled out to a small controlled group first.
Gotcha.
This would allow them to monitor and identify any issues before releasing it to the wider public.
That's smart.
Another approach is phased rollouts.
Okay.
Which is where you gradually expand the update to larger and larger groups while continuously monitoring for any problems.
Okay.
So, yeah, incorporating these kind of more strategic and layered approaches to testing can dramatically reduce the risk of these kind of widespread disruptions.
I like it. So not just testing more, but testing smarter.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to disaster number 2, the AT&T mobility outage.
Oh, yeah.
Millions of calls, including emergency calls, were dropped.
Scary stuff.
It is scary stuff what happened there.
So this outage impacted 125 million devices.
What?
And it lasted for a full 12 hours.
12 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so what was the cause?
It was a configuration error that had a cascading effect on their entire network.
Okay.
So to really understand this, we need to talk about redundancy. So robust systems often have backup components and failover mechanisms in place.
Right.
So that if one part fails, another part can seamlessly take over.
Makes sense.
But in this case, AT&T's network didn't have adequate redundancy.
I see.
So that initial error led to this domino effect, taking down large portions of their service.
Wow. So it's just like one single point of failure.
Pretty much, yeah.
Crippled their entire network.
It happens.
That's so scary.
It is.
I mean, especially for something like telecommunications that we all rely on so heavily.
Right. Like if you need to make an emergency call and the system is down,
yeah,
you're in trouble.
Big trouble. Okay. So disaster number 3, McDonald's.
Oh, no, not the McDonald's.
The McDonald's payment system meltdown.
Everyone was very sad about that.
I'm sure they were. I can only imagine the frustration for both the customers and the employees.
I know. I was one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was trying to get a McFlurry.
Oh, man.
The system was down.
What a bummer.
I know. So I had to go somewhere else.
Oh, well, so what was it? What caused this global fast food freeze?
So this time it wasn't an internal issue.
Okay.
It was actually a third-party provider that caused the meltdown.
Oh, wow.
A configuration error on their end had this ripple effect, taking down McDonald's payment systems globally.
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 Wow. Okay, so millions of dollars in revenue were lost.
Millions.
And of course, not to mention the damage to customer trust.
Yeah, that's hard to quantify.
But it's real.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, so this brings up a really important point about managing third-party dependencies.
Which is something that's becoming increasingly important as our world becomes more interconnected.
Yeah, I mean, some might argue that relying on outside vendors is simply unavoidable these days.
It pretty much is.
So how can businesses effectively manage this reliance with the inherent risks?
That's a good question. And it's one that many organizations are grappling with.
Yeah.
It's not about eliminating vendors altogether.
Okay.
It's about establishing really robust vendor management practices. So that includes doing thorough due diligence before even onboarding a vendor,
okay,
understanding their security protocols and incident response plans,
okay,
and making sure that their values and practices align with your own.
Yeah.
Having contingency plans in place for critical services is also crucial.
So it's kind of like a proactive and informed approach rather than reactive.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's move on to something that sounds like it's straight out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, okay.
Microsoft Copilot goes rogue.
That's a good one.
This one was a bit unsettling to me because an AI chatbot turning sassy and spilling secrets.
Yeah, it sounds very science fiction-y.
It does, but it actually happened. So what happened there?
Well, it seems that a combination of vulnerabilities, including something called prompt injection attacks.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so these attacks involve exploiting flaws in how a system processes user inputs.
Right.
Allowing these malicious actors to inject commands that the AI then unknowingly executes.
Okay, so it's basically tricking the AI into behaving badly.
Yep, and in this case, exposing sensitive information.
That's so scary. I mean, this incident really underscores the need for stronger safeguards and ethical considerations in AI development.
Right. As AI becomes more and more integrated into our lives,
yeah,
we need to focus not just on the capabilities,
right,
but also on the responsible implementation of it.
I like that responsible implementation.
Huh.
Okay, so before I move on to the next disaster, have you personally ever experienced a significant IT outage?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we all have at some point.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was trying to make a really important payment through my banking app, and there was an outage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was incredibly frustrating because I couldn't access my funds.
Yeah.
And it really drove home the point that even these seemingly minor outages,
yeah,
can have a real impact on our daily lives.
Yeah, they really highlight our dependence on technology.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, let's delve into the U.S. financial aid glitch. So this one caused significant delays for thousands of students who rely on financial aid.
Yeah, this was a tough one.
It was a tough one. So what went wrong with the FAFSA system?
So the U.S. Department of Education's FAFSA system, which processes all those financial aid applications,
right,
experienced a major software malfunction.
Oh, boy.
The system was plagued by all these calculation errors.
Uh-oh.
And application glitches causing delays for over 200,000 students.
Wow, 200,000. That's a lot.
It is.
So, I mean, imagine being a student and you're relying on that financial aid to pay for school.
I know. Stressful.
And suddenly it's delayed because of a software error.
Right.
That's stressful.
Yeah, very stressful.
What were the primary factors that contributed to this meltdown?
So, similar to the McDonald's situation, it seems to have been a combination of vendor errors and insufficient testing.
Okay.
Basically, there were issues with how assets were being calculated.
Got it.
And there were bugs within the application forms themselves. And it appears that the Department of Education and the external vendor didn't have adequate testing protocols.
So they weren't communicating well.
It doesn't seem like it.
And they weren't testing well.
Right.
Not a good combination.
Not a good combination.
Okay, so yet again, we see how critical it is to have those testing procedures in place.
Definitely.
Especially when you're dealing with systems that directly impact people's lives.
And livelihoods.
Yeah. Okay, so this is an important point that I think you made earlier, but I want to reiterate it.
Okay.
It's not just about testing in isolation.
Right.
It's about fostering a culture of collaboration and communication.
Open communication.
Especially between organizations and their vendors.
Absolutely.
Making sure that everybody involved understands their responsibility.
Yeah, and the potential consequences of any oversight.
Okay, good point. All right, let's take a look at our next IT disaster malware. Pre-installed on Ace Magic PCs.
Oh, yeah. This one was a bit shady.
This one's a little different. It sounds a bit more sinister than just like a simple software glitch.
It does indeed imagine purchasing a brand new computer.
Yeah.
Only to discover that it's already infected with malware.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's exactly what happened to some unfortunate Ace Magic PC buyers.
Really?
So
is this an accident or was it something more deliberate?
Well, that's the unsettling part.
Okay.
The company claimed that the developers included this malware to optimize boot times.
Optimize boot times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically Backdoor, Blood of Bindi, and Redline Stealer.
Those are bad.
Those are not good.
Optimize boot times.
Not a good excuse.
That sounds like a really flimsy excuse to compromise user security and privacy.
It does, doesn't it?
So what was the real reason?
Well, we don't know for sure.
Right.
but it certainly raises some serious concerns about the company's judgment.
Yeah.
And their blatant disregard for user privacy.
Yeah, I mean, the impact of this pre-installed malware can be devastating.
It really can.
Leading to data breaches, identity theft.
All sorts of nasty stuff.
And ultimately, just an erosion of trust. So this brings us to an important concept in today's world.
Which is?
Supply chain security.
Yeah.
So can you explain what that is and why it's so important?
Sure. So supply chain security is all about establishing a chain of trust.
Okay.
From the beginning to the end,
uh-huh.
Every component, every piece of software that is incorporated into that product
okay.
needs to be thoroughly vetted and secure.
So that means scrutinizing the practices of the suppliers, the manufacturers, every link in the chain.
Every link.
So in the case of Ace Magic,
yeah.
there was a lapse in their supply chain security.
Big lapse.
Which allowed these compromised components to slip through.
And ultimately harm their customers.
Okay. So it's a reminder that security needs to be a holistic consideration.
It does.
It's not just the final product.
Right.
It's every stage of its development and production.
Every stage.
Yeah. Okay. So we've covered 6 of the 8 major IT disasters of 2024. But before we dive into the final two, I'm curious to get your take on what you see as the most significant theme emerging from these incidents.
You know what really strikes me is just the interconnectedness of it all.
Okay.
These disasters highlight how a single software update,
right?
A configuration error,
uh-huh.
or a vulnerability in a third-party system
yeah.
can have this cascading effect impacting millions of people, causing billions of dollars in losses.
Yeah.
They really underscore our deep reliance on technology.
Right.
And the critical need to manage that reliance responsibly.
Yeah, that's a powerful observation. I mean, we've seen how seemingly isolated incidents can have far-reaching consequences in this interconnected world.
Exactly.
And it's just a reminder that vigilance, proactive risk management,
and a commitment to ethical practices
are more important now than ever.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, so we're going to take a quick pause here.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll dive into the final two IT disasters and explore what steps businesses and individuals can take to protect themselves in this ever-evolving landscape.
Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll be right back. And we are back, continuing our deep dive into the top IT disasters of 2024.
Top 8.
We've got 2 more on the list.
Let's do it.
Next up is the Post Office Horizon scandal.
Ooh, yeah, this was a big one.
This one's a bit different, right?
Yeah.
It sounds less about bits and bytes and more about like a scandal.
It's actually both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a scandal that is deeply rooted in technology.
Okay, tell me more.
So this incident shook the UK when it was revealed that the Post Office's accounting system,
which is called Horizon.
Horizon.
Okay.
Was riddled with errors.
Okay.
And we're not talking about just like minor glitches.
Uh-huh.
This system was wrongly accusing employees of theft.
A computer system accusing people of stealing.
I know, it sounds crazy, right?
It sounds like something out of a dystopian novel.
Right.
How is that even possible?
So the Horizon system had some serious flaws in its software. And to make matters worse, there was a lack of proper documentation and processes for dealing with these errors.
Uh-huh.
So this resulted in over 700 post office employees
wow.
being wrongly terminated.
What?
And some even faced criminal charges.
That is incredibly disturbing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a stark reminder that technology, even when it's designed for like mundane tasks, like accounting can have really devastating consequences on people's lives.
Absolutely. And this scandal had a ripple effect that lasted for years.
Yeah.
Leading to these protracted legal battles.
Right.
And just immeasurable reputational damage to the post office.
So what's the takeaway here? Should we all be inherently wary of all technology?
I wouldn't say wary of all technology.
Okay.
But I think it's about demanding transparency and accountability.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to these legacy systems like Horizon.
Right.
Regular audits, clear documentation,
mm-hmm.
processes for identifying and addressing errors.
Yeah.
These are all crucial for preventing this kind of tragedy from happening again.
So it's really about making sure that technology is used responsibly.
Responsibly and ethically.
Yeah, with appropriate oversight.
Oversight is key.
Okay, that's a sobering reminder that technology is a tool.
It is.
And like any tool, it can be misused.
For sure.
So we need to be vigilant in making sure that it's used ethically.
Absolutely.
And that there are safeguards in place to protect people.
From unintended harm.
Yeah, good point. Okay, on to our final disaster. Retail POS failures across the UK.
Oh, yeah.
This one sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. A little bit like the McDonald's payment system meltdown,
Right.
but on a larger scale.
Right. So major UK retailers, including Tesco, Sainsbury's, even Greggs,
Legs.
experienced these point of sale outages, and it made it impossible for people to pay with their cards.
Yeah, very inconvenient.
So another case of third-party providers causing widespread disruption.
It seems that way.
What can we learn from this one?
So the timing of these outages,
Okay.
coinciding with the McDonald's issue, suggests that there might be a systemic problem.
Okay.
It seems like a software update from a shared provider could have been the culprit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for businesses?
What highlights the critical need for failover systems?
Especially for vital infrastructure.
Exactly, like payment processing.
Imagine you're a retailer
Okay.
and suddenly no one can pay with their cards.
Yep.
You're losing sales. Customers are frustrated.
Reputational damage.
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster.
It is.
So it's not just about preventing these failures,
Right.
it's also about minimizing their impact when they occur,
Exactly.
which is why it's so important to have those redundant systems in place.
Absolutely.
So if one system goes down
There's a backup ready to take over
seamlessly.
seamlessly.
Okay, so we've examined eight major IT disasters of 2024.
We did it.
What stands out to you as the most significant overarching theme?
The common thread that I see running through all of these incidents is just the interconnected nature of our technological systems. A seemingly isolated failure in one area can have this cascading effect,
Right.
disrupting businesses, essential services, even people's lives.
Yeah. And it really highlights the responsibility
The immense
that comes
responsibility.
with developing and managing these systems.
It does.
I think it's been quite a year in the world of IT.
It has been.
But there's also a sense of hope here, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
We're learning from these mistakes,
Right?
developing more robust systems, becoming more aware of the risks involved.
Awareness is key.
So, amidst all the turmoil, there's a silver lining.
There is.
We're becoming more informed and
Yeah.
hopefully more resilient as we move forward.
I agree.
But before we wrap up,
Okay.
let's lighten the mood a little bit.
All right.
What was the most surprising or memorable detail that you encountered?
You know what? The sheer scale of the CrowdStrike update failure is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
8.5 million computers
Well, I
affected.
know it's crazy.
It really drives home the fact that even seemingly small errors
Yeah.
can have massive consequences in the digital age.
8.5 million? That's a crazy number.
It is.
It really makes you think twice about clicking that update now button.
It does make you think twice. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit and get practical.
Okay.
What are some actionable steps that businesses and individuals can take to protect themselves?
That's the million-dollar question.
It is.
And there's no one-size-fits-all answer,
Right.
but I think based on what we've talked about today,
Yeah.
there are a few key areas to focus on.
Use your top three.
Okay, number one, rigorous testing.
Okay.
This cannot be emphasized enough.
I like it.
Test everything, software, updates, new systems, third-party integrations. The more thorough your testing procedures are, the better your chances of catching problems before they escalate.
Prevention is always better than cure.
Absolutely.
What's number two?
Vendor management.
Okay.
Don't just blindly trust any provider that comes along.
Conduct thorough due diligence, scrutinize their security protocols, inquire about their disaster recovery plans.
Okay.
Make sure that their values align with your own.
So it's about being a discerning consumer of technology.
Exactly.
What's the final piece of advice?
Embrace a culture of security and resilience.
I like that. A culture of security.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So that means establishing clear procedures for incident response,
Okay.
educating employees about cybersecurity best practices, and investing in robust backup and recovery solutions.
Okay.
It's not just about having the right tools, it's
Right.
about having the right mindset.
Okay. So being proactive.
Proactive.
Identifying and mitigating risks, fostering a mindset of continuous improvement.
Exactly. Shifting from a reactive approach to a proactive one.
I like that.
Anticipating potential challenges and building systems that can withstand them.
Okay, so as we conclude our deep dive into the IT disasters of 2024, what's the one key takeaway that you want our listeners to remember?
In today's interconnected world, IT failures are more than just technical glitches.
Oh.
They're business risks, societal risks, even personal risks.
That's a good point.
By understanding the causes, learning from past mistakes, and taking those proactive steps to mitigate those risks, we can build a more resilient and secure future for everyone.
Beautifully said. And before we go, one final thought for our listeners to ponder as technology continues to evolve at this crazy pace.
Yeah.
How do we balance the drive for innovation with the need for responsibility and safety?
That's a great question.
It's a complex one.
It is.
But it's one worth exploring.
Absolutely. It's a conversation that we all need to be a part of.
Yeah. Technology is a powerful tool.
It is.
And its impact on our lives is only going to grow.
It is.
So it's up to us to make sure that we're using it wisely,
ethically,
and with a focus on creating a better future for everyone.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, a huge thank you to our expert for sharing such valuable insights today.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We hope you found it informative, engaging, and maybe even a little bit thought-provoking.
A little bit.
Until next time, stay curious, stay safe, and stay connected.
And we are back for the third and final part of our deep dive on the top IT disasters of 2024.
It's been quite a journey.
It has been. We've really dug into some pretty impactful incidents.
Yeah, a lot to unpack.
But now I want to kind of step back from those individual cases.
Okay.
And look at the bigger picture.
Sounds good.
So what are some of the overarching themes that you see emerging from all of this?
Well, one thing that really stands out to me is just the increasing complexity of these IT systems.
Okay.
We're relying on more and more interconnected technologies,
right.
Third-party providers, these really intricate software architectures.
So much more than ever before.
Exactly. And of course, with that complexity comes increased vulnerability.
Right, because a single point of failure, whether it's a faulty update, a misconfigured server, or even a lapse in security at a vendor's system,
can have a domino effect.
Exactly. It can cascade across multiple organizations, industries, even countries.
It's like that butterfly effect, but applied to technology.
That's a great way to put it. And it really highlights the need for a more holistic approach to risk management.
So we can't just focus on securing individual systems in isolation anymore.
Right. We need to think about the entire ecosystem.
How these systems all interact with each other.
Exactly. And that requires a lot of collaboration, a lot of communication.
And a shared understanding of the risks involved.
Absolutely. Businesses, governments, individuals.
We all have a role to play here.
We do if we want to build a truly resilient and secure digital world.
It's daunting.
It is.
But I also think there's a sense of opportunity here.
I agree.
As we become more aware of these interconnected systems,
yeah.
We can start developing more robust strategies.
For managing the risk.
And I think a key part of that is shifting our mindset.
From reaction to prevention.
Exactly. Instead of waiting for something to break and then scrambling to fix it,
right.
We need to be more proactive.
Proactive about identifying vulnerabilities and taking steps to mitigate them.
Which brings us back to some of those key takeaways that we've been talking about.
Like rigorous testing, careful vendor management, and cultivating that culture of security and resilience.
Those are essential.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a need for greater transparency and accountability within the tech industry as a whole.
You're right when things do go wrong.
Companies need to be open about what happened, why it happened.
And the steps they're taking to prevent it from happening again.
Exactly. The transparency builds trust with users.
And it also allows the whole industry to learn from these mistakes.
Right. And ultimately improve collective security practices.
It's like we all have this shared responsibility for the health of the digital ecosystem.
We do. It's a team effort.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the IT disasters of 2024.
It's been real.
It has been. What is the one message that you want our listeners to take away?
I think it's this technology is a powerful tool.
It is incredibly powerful.
But it also comes with significant risks. And by understanding those risks, by embracing a proactive approach to security, and by working together to build that more resilient digital world,
we can really harness the power of technology for good while minimizing the potential for harm.
That's the goal.
Well said. So on that note, I want to thank you for joining us on this journey.
It's been a pleasure.
Through the highs and lows of technology in 2024.
It's been quite a year.
It has been. And to our listeners, thank you so much for being a part of the deep dive. We hope you found it informative, engaging.
And maybe a little bit thought-provoking.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.